This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
She's a very freaky girl.
Good news is we're back.
The one you don't take home to mama. Man, I would have just loved to be in his crew, man. You just sex, drugs, must. You know what his bedroom probably smelled like? Smelled like Aqua Boogie.
Aqua Boogie?
Like the funk. You know, that's where the funk was born. The funk was made in Rick James' room.
Aqua Boogie is absolutely brilliant and on point.
It usually is, yes. It's Bart Nott, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Can you imagine living in a society where all you need is penicillin?
Is what?
Do whatever you want.
Oh, penicillin?
Yeah, that's all you need.
The good news is the color is back in my face. I'm no longer in panic mode.
They got flush.
Man, but you handled it. I appreciate you. Thank you
for doing that. Dream work,
but yeah, we had a little bit of technical issues here, so I want to thank all the guys for rushing in here and fixing the problem as quickly as we can so we can continue with the show. And right now, in hour number two, we bring in our good friend Jay Williams from KJM.
Jay Weezy.
Jay Weezy joins us right now.
What's up, baby?
What's going on, man?
Han, I'm just trying to tell you right now, if my ass was to go into that room, I would have had the Joel Embiid hazmat suit on with the black light.
No, man.
With the black light. I want to see where I don't want to touch nothing, and nor do I want it touching me. That's
no,
all I'm saying.
No, it was okay. All you needed was a shot of pill. Matter of fact, you just take the penicillin shot before you walk in there, and you can rock out with your socks out.
Hold my breath. No, with that. I'm keeping my socks on.
Jay Wee, you probably go in there. You go in there and just say, hold my bricks. Just go ahead. Yeah.
But I'll just be in the corner having my cup of tea. Just watch. You know what I mean? Just watch.
Okay.
I'm just here for entertainment. That's all.
Yeah, okay. To Apollonia, come over there. Then what?
Just watching, Jay?
To Apollonia, come over there.
I'm just saying, Alan. Who are you talking to, huh? Are you talking to the grown version of me? Are you talking to the baby version of me?
We're talking to the baby version.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
Go back in time. Yeah. I mean, if you get the flux capacitor and you get into the DeLorean, like, I'm sorry, you're not going back as your age. You're going back in your prime if you want to experience
Don't worry.
Things.
You'll find me in the middle of the room, huh, doing the stanky leg.
That's what I'm saying. Now we're getting to
everybody it. Everybody talking about Jason Williams. You got Jay Williams. We got the real Jay Williams. They talk about Jay Williams, you know, the leaked out, like, tape when he was on Broadway.
I didn't shoot anybody. It's not me, Bart. It's not me.
At first, I thought they were talking about you. Like, they were like, Jay Williams bears it all. I thought they Jay Weezy. I thought you just, went on Kinky Books or something and just dropped it like it's hot. Like, that's what we doing now, Jay Weezy?
What is wrong with you two? You guys are serious to be a problem.
Jesse Williams. Got it.
We had a debate yesterday, and Bart was like, furious at Woj had the report about Nikola Jokic winning MVP, and I know it'll be awarded later this week, but you know, we know that's a given. I mean, Woj says that it's going to happen, and Bart feels like Joel Embiid got robbed, and we got tons of calls from a lot of people who felt the same way. How do you feel?
All right, this is going to annoy you. I don't care. I think I get more frustrated at, because I went back today and I literally did a list of 2005 Shaq being robbed by Steve Nash, 2006 Kobe being robbed by Steve Nash. Like, I literally went through even like 2018, I think it was LeBron and James Harden, where certain people were robbed. So I get frustrated because there's not a set criteria on what you're actually hunting. And for me, just give me benchmarks, NBA. Just tell me what things are solidified in stone, because I'm tired of it being such a subjective conversation. Because each and every year, I just end up getting mad and frustrated. So I decided to be a little bit more pragmatic and practical about it and just try to come up with terms that say, okay, here's what you need to determine what the MVP is, and then let it be carved in stone and call it that.
Like, we know for a fact that if next year Jokic has an even better year, they'll never give it to somebody three times in a row, no matter what. And I feel like, listen, the reason why I'm so sad for Joel Embiid, because he had a contract, a verbal contract with Rihanna, that, remember, he came at her, she said, get good. Like, I don't care if ASAP Rocky is there or not. Like, she owed me. Like, so when she pushed that out, it's, you know, she owed me. You know what I'm saying? She told me, get good. I got great.
That's when you show up with the MVP trophy. You just put it right on the table. You go, it's time.
Uh-huh. Show up in that Atomic Dog Gold, that
Alan.
Gold Speedo,
it's my turn.
And some boots. Coming at mud with some Timberlands on. Like, yo, it's time.
This is the place we're at today.
Timberland and no socks.
We're talking with Jay Wilk from KJM. So last night, what we saw from the Warriors
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I know it's your show, and I don't want to steamroll you, but I have to ask you guys this.
What's up?
So Tom Brady supposedly has this contract with Fox. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys seen this, $375 million over 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
That's supposedly what's about. And it led me into a debate today. And I want you guys to really think about it with Key about this. I know LeBron James has been everywhere, and he's probably one of the most famous athletes ever to exist in the world. But just in the United States, would you say Tom Brady is close to LeBron James or right up there with LeBron James in fame? Well, who do you think has a better TV personality? We're talking about the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like, of all sports. Like, am I wrong to think that Tom Brady is probably the most prolific athlete that we have, most famous athlete we have in the United States? If every day I'm told that football is king,
yeah,
can I make the argument that Tom Brady is the most famous athlete in all sports in America?
I would say that's you're not even going out on a limb
saying that. But the only problem is, like, a lot of people and the biggest consumers out there are minorities. And I don't know if Tom crosses all the way over with those minorities. You think about LeBron, you think about the shop, you think about cool. You don't really associate Tom Brady with cool, even though you associate him with great.
But that's not what we're asking. Jay didn't ask that question. Jay asked, when you say popular, you mean known.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tom Brady is the most known because there are...
Maybe not more than LeBron.
There are housewives in the Midwest who only watch daytime soap operas who know who Tom Brady is.
But everybody... Yes. And those same people know who LeBron James
is. Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
They do.
But I think because it's football...
Yeah, football is
the
biggest sport.
Now, here's the question, because you said, like, LeBron or Tom Brady, who'd be better at the... I think both those guys... I don't think Tom Brady is going to be good at this job if I don't get sideline Tom, Jay. You know what I mean?
Real Tom.
Yeah, I can't have careful Tom who doesn't want to, you know, be disrespectful or upset people or criticize players. No, I need Tom Brady who is on the sideline tearing into a teammate or an assistant coach.
Well, then this is going to be the problem, though, that you're going to have, huh? Like, and I've seen that Shaq has it with Sacramento. Grant Hill has it. Granted, these guys are not the same as Michael Jordan or Tom Brady, but Grant has it with the Atlanta Hawks, where they're all part owners. So if you're hearing this whole conversation about a handshake potentially between Stephen Ross and Tom Brady for him to own a piece of Miami before that whole thing got thrown to the wayside, you would have to imagine that ownership is in the future for Tom Brady. So can Tom Brady be as critical and real as you want him to be when there's ownership equity at stake?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm confused.
I know.
Here's another thing, too. When we talk about equity, right, we all know that basketball players get paid better than football players. But, man, post-career, like, you look at what these football players are getting. You know, you got Troy Aikman. You got, like, I know Shaq and them get paid well. They not getting paid $37 a year. Like at what point do guys like Shaq and Charles Barkley say, hey, you know, I need more money. Look what these guys are getting to cover their sport. And we're doing – no, we're not doing just 24 games. We're doing 60.
But, Bart, that's my point. If we're saying that football is king and football is an American-made sport,
right?
Doesn't that – I mean, look at that difference. Like, Charles Barkley is one of the most well-known guys in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm sure there is a huge gap between what Barkley is earning at TNT and what Tom Brady was just offered.
Yeah. And you got to think of people who aren't sports fans. Like, they are not interested in sport. They don't know anything about it, whatever it is. But there's certain sports names that you know, Michael Jordan, and I think Tom Brady is right there. Like, I just think it's just outside of sports world, which all of us can't, we can't comprehend a world without sports. But there's a lot of people who exist among us
who
really have no clue about sports and don't care.
Tom Brady's in that same category with Lewis Hamilton. He's in the same role with Beckham and Messi and Ronaldo, LeBron and Brady. That's why I feel like the as far as popularity, you know, world popularity, those are the guys.
You just named the photo. Is that what you were doing?
Yeah,
just naming that photo that you saw online.
Well, man,
it's amazing. The ESPN Plus on cue puts the photo up. Well done, guys. Talking with Jay Will, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, Bart and Hahn. Jay, let's just get into the games we saw last night. From the Warriors, is it concern because Klay's still having trouble making shots? It took Steph a while, but then he finally closed the game, which you kind of were hoping and expecting he'd do it. That game always felt like it was up for grabs, like waiting for the Warriors. Like, come on. Like, as I'm watching this thing, I'm like, just get this thing done. Like, how are you losing this game right now? You should win. Like, get this done. I'm waiting for it to happen. It finally happened. So is it the Warriors are still trying to find themselves, or is it something the Grizzlies are doing that we should give credit to?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think it's a combination of both. I don't think it's one or the other. I think you have the Warriors that, to a degree, when John Morant isn't on the court, I don't know if they respected their opponent as much. And I think that was a little bit disappointing that you didn't have the Warriors come out and say, no, we are the team to beat, and they could have pummeled the Grizzlies last night by 25 points. But at the same time, I firmly believe this, guys. Sometimes it's okay to win games ugly. So. Oh, yeah. Steve Kerr, 2 hours before the game, all of a sudden gets diagnosed with COVID, right? He's positive. He's out. Mike Brown in. He's just been named the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. Okay, so just think about that for 1 second. You have Stephen Clay that shot 19% from the three-point line. They couldn't find their swag. And by the way, Adrian Payne, who is Draymond Green's teammate at Michigan State, passed away randomly at 31 years old. God rest his soul. Rest in peace, Adrian Payne. So, like, you have a lot of things that are going on. And for me, I give credit to learning how to win when things aren't going your way. That is a sign of a veteran team. Does that mean that they are best posed to beat the Phoenix Suns if they're able to get through Dallas? I'm not sure. But there is something special about learning how to win ugly, guys. Let's not lose sight of that.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, having that core of that you know, the confidence of championship
Been there.
That's important. And it's something Mike Brown, as you mentioned, he was the interim coach because Steve Kerr's out with COVID.
Yep.
Mike Brown credited Andre Iguodala. Now, obviously, Iggy didn't play, and he hasn't played in a while. But just saying his presence on the sideline, him and Draymond Green, just keeping everybody calm and keeping everybody just like from panicking or worrying or any of that stuff, just the confidence that those two veterans instilled was a huge part of letting them just keep rowing and fight through this, and then it'll work out, especially when you have a guy like Steph Curry. So having those guys is still so valuable.
And, Alan, think about this. Let's put it into perspective. You talk about getting in the car and traveling back in time. Wasn't Andre Iguodala once on Memphis?
Yes.
And who on Memphis told him, we don't want you here?
He didn't want to play there.
And look how Dylan Brooks has played in this playoff series.
Yeah,
he has been a shell of himself.
Yeah.
He's averaging 7 points. He's not shooting the ball well at all. He took horrible shots last night down the stretch. And I'm sitting there saying that, wow, like that veteran presence seems like it is missing on Memphis. And it does make you think if Iggy were still around there, still helping that culture settle in. Like they have all the venom, all the the power to play with, but they don't feel like they have that calming presence. And granted, when Giles on the court, they're a different team down the stretch, because I do feel like they gave the game away. But still, when you think about this team and their ultimate ceiling, you wish they had some veteran presence that can help them in these type of times that have won championships before.
Yeah, remember, Iggy didn't want to play there, and he was kind of holding out. He was kicking around retirement.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Then he finally moves on, and that's when Brooks and those guys were like, well, we don't want him anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you're 100% right. That's the element I think this group's missing. They've maybe got to find it, or they've got to develop it within their own group. But how about now? Let's just switch to the other game. The Celtics and Jason Tatum, you know, has been struggling. The Celtics have been – that's a very physical series with the Bucks, and Giannis was, again, doing Giannis things. And then Al Horford suddenly just said enough's enough. And he went on a tear that included that, you know, emphatic dunk on Giannis. And I swear, I just think the way he was playing in these two road games, but especially last night, got Jason Tatum kind of back on track. He had a terrible game three. He did not have a great start to game four. But there was something about that fourth quarter where Tatum suddenly looked like himself again. And I feel like that's, once again, let's go back to crediting that critical element that a lot of the better teams have is the veteran people who might not do it every night, but on one particular night, they'll do something that sparks the team and gets you a win. And that's, I think, what Al Horford's performance was last night.
Alan, I look at the playoffs sometimes, and granted, I've never been through the playoffs, but I've been on the road, I've been at games, and even that within itself is a grind mentally. I can't imagine playing 48 minutes every single night. But it made me think of an analogy one time that, you know, sometimes if you're going for a long distance swim and you've been swimming for a long time, there's going to get a point where you're going to be tired. Yeah. And imagine having somebody next to you who all of a sudden has been swimming not the same pace that you've been swimming at, because you're swimming at an incredible pace. They're a little bit lagging behind you. But all of a sudden they come and they just give you a raise. They help you tread water for a minute. That gives you the energy to finish the rest of the race pretty strong. And that's what Al Horford did for Jason Tatum. And that's what didn't happen during the Memphis game. Like, there wasn't somebody to help them close down the stretch. And when you have Jason Tatum on your team, it makes a world of a difference. But I do say this, because we talked about this a lot last year, Al, and Bart, too. Coach Bud, we get to a certain point where, and he makes good adjustments, but like, he was on the verge last year, guys, before he won a championship, where people weren't sure he was going to be the guy to get them over the hump.
Right.
And when you watch their offense doing the same thing over and over again, it's almost like Luka or like James, where everybody becomes stagnant and they watch Giannis with the ball. And it doesn't seem like they're doing anything else other than just say, Giannis, go try to get it done for us. And it seemed like he ran out of steam last night.
Yeah. He did look like he was getting tired from the physicality. I mean, have you seen more bodies on the floor in a series than this one? I mean, I said this last night kind of half-kidding. Like, I think we've jumped the shark on everybody trying to take charges, because every possession is someone falling down and someone getting, you know, someone getting run over. It's like, but that's what that's the commitment that we're seeing from both these teams, that everybody's willing to step in front and just get run over to see if you can draw a charge. That's how physical this series has been. So on the flip side of that, we're talking with Jay Will. James Harden had a big fourth quarter in game three to get the series back on track. I'm sorry, game four, to get the series back on track. They go now to Miami. They play tonight in game five. Is what we saw from James Harden in that fourth quarter okay, that's what we can start to expect it. Did he get himself back, or is that an anomaly? Was that one of those, like, yeah, that was nice, but I can't see him doing that every game?
I don't know, boys. Monday nights at the Fountain Blue.
That's what we were saying.
I'm not sure.
Was it 11? Sure. Yo, he's in the Hall of Fame in Houston. He's in the Hall of Fame. Let's see if he can cop that vice. They got to have that body tracker on him, man.
It just shows you how committed he really is. If he still couldn't keep himself out of it, but what do you expect tonight?
But Alan, I'm not. And everybody kind of said this as like me being a James Harden hater, and I'm like, no, I don't want James Harden scoring 35 every single night. Yep. I want James Harden being a guy to give me 20 to 24. Can facilitate pass, get everybody involved. If he gets hot, then great. Yeah. You'll take that as a 76er fan. But you don't want James Harden trying. Like, I like this team when their balance is Joel Embiid being back in the court, Tyrese Maxey being considered to be an alpha guy, Danny Green, Tobias Harris actually knocking down shots from the outside or being confident enough to take those shots. Like, I don't look at James Harden being the guy who's going to drop 35 every single night.
Yeah.
I don't think that's championship James Harden. I think high assists and taking the easy buckets that they give you, that could be championship James Harden.
Yeah, James Harden at this point in his career, I know they, because, you know, the relationship ended abruptly and it didn't seem like it ended on good terms. But he really needs to sit down with Chris Paul. He should become a supersized version of Chris Paul, facilitating, managing the game, controlling the pace, dictating the pace, and when he needs to take over, you know, in spurts, be able to do so. But that should be what James Harden is all about as we look at the next iteration of what his game is, his career is supposed to
get on the diet. On that diet. That would be helpful as well. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, Jay, Chris Paul and the foul issues in the previous game, I got a sense that the officials almost wanted to make an example of some of the stuff that he does. You know what I mean? Like, because he can trick you into fouls. He does a lot of this stuff that you know is just from years of experience of being the smartest guy on the floor. And they weren't letting him get away with a lot of this stuff. And I wonder, did you see it as he was being targeted in this game? Or did you say, no, these are all the right calls?
It's probably an element of both, Alan. Like, I think to sit up here and to think that refs don't have sometimes built-in agendas or built-in thoughts going into games, we would be remiss, right?
Yep.
I think I've had conversations with refs sometimes where they want to stop the action before the action becomes a repeatable offense, right? So I sometimes do think that's a combination of the refs coming in, looking at the game that way, and also Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks really selling a lot of those calls. And I think for CP3, who is a gifted actor, right, but also a brilliant orchestrator, he's both.
Yes.
I think he just has to get back to playing hoop, just playing ball, and stop all the ancillary stuff and focus on that aspect of the game. Because when he focuses on that and loses himself as a competitor, that's when I think Phoenix is at their best.
Yeah, he's a different guy. I mean, remember, he's been their big fourth quarter guy, and he wasn't there for them. That couldn't happen. Now, I'll also, you mentioned Jay Kidd, so I'll give you my conspiracy theory. I think Jason Kidd was always the smartest guy on the floor, right, when he played. I have a feeling there's something about a lot of those calls that Jay Kidd kind of like planted the seeds there. Like he knows what he's doing. He sees it, and he wanted to make sure, like, you can't let him get away with that stuff. Because some of these calls were things that he has normally gotten away with, and for one game, he didn't. And, boy, that changed the series. Now, suddenly, that is tied at two, and we have that game certainly tonight as well. Jay, this is always fun. Great to catch up with you. I hope you're working on going left and going right.
I look forward to competing against you. And, Bart, don't worry, I will bring the black light to the black tops.
I'm with you. Black light with the black tops.
There you go.
Shake them up, shake them.
In the corner,
that's
no socks.
That's what a, that's what a post game is.
Staring in the dark with the Charlie Murphy eyes.
No socks, but he's got the black light just to make sure. Can I sit here? Is it okay?
I want the striped tube socks.
By the way, look, Jay can't see it, but on ESPN Plus right now we have.
Get that out of
Jay
here.
Jay Will trying to go for a layup, and there's Bart Scott.
Scalabrini, Jay Kidd's there, and it looks like my head is on Chris Humphreys because I'm looking at how jacked up the guns are.
Bart, I hope that you don't guard me because I want to see if Keyshawn can score against you.
You know what I've been practicing?
That is the matchup I want.
You know what I've been practicing? I've been practicing doing drop steps with watermelons, and then I turn around and try to explode the watermelons on my drop step.
What is wrong with your partner, huh?
I don't know.
I love it.
Bart is absolutely brilliant and on point.
Yeah, that's what the callers think anyway. Jay, all the best, my man.
Okay, guys.
All right, Jay Williams again on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As I mentioned, the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. The Heat hosts the Sixers. It's presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. All right, so a mayor in a very big city, he proposed a crazy idea that there's no way it would work. But we got to discuss whether it
could. What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah.
Bart and Han.
That's key on the treadmill. They're going to quit talking about me. Think of this. Like, to the point, Keyshawn,
is that all we have? Is that all we have when it comes to the trash talk?
Oh, they ain't gonna be some trash talking.
Oh no, no, I promise there'll be world class levels of trash talk. But I'm saying, like, I mean, they're doing videos. They've got people like in different.
They Hollywood, man. They got. Look, Keyshawn's in Hollywood. That's what it is. You know what I mean?
How did this get to this level?
And I know a green screen when I see one, Keyshawn. Can't use them fiber optics on me. It's a green screen.
But like, have you noticed though? Like, they've got they make the poor guys from ESPN 1000 in Chicago do a video.
Yep.
Looks like a hostage video. The one guy's reading off a piece of paper. I think Bart is going to struggle.
Yeah,
like it's like they made him say it.
Yeah, blink three times.
Yeah, right. Cap, blink your eyes. Tell us you're okay. Like, was that not a hostage video? Nothing said more, they made me do this, than that video.
Exactly.
Nothing genuine about that. Listen, everybody, don't buy this. This is all manufactured. They're creating this whole thing. I mean, don't think for a minute all these people are on their side. Even Russini admitted after the fact that she's like, they made me do it.
Yep.
Right? She took shots at us, and I'm like, Russini, I thought we were friends. She's like, they made me do it. What do you want me to do?
And Legler was supposed to be on our side.
Legs is on our side, but then he went on their show, and then he pretended to be on their side. When I saw him, he was just like, remember we were walking out with him? And what did he say? He's like, you know, wherever you are, you got to just kind of play the role.
State TV.
Speaking of Diana Russini, this interesting stuff that she had to say this morning on Get Up about a story that has come out of Dallas. It's Bart and Hahn, by the way. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. The mayor, apparently, in Dallas was suggesting, I guess there was a question that was asked, is what city, what major city should get a second NFL team? Like an expansion team.
Second?
Yeah, an expansion team. And the mayor in Dallas said that we should get one. That they think they're big enough to handle two NFL teams. Now, while populous
and they got Houston.
Well, no. It's Dallas.
But I'm saying, like, it's no one city should ever get.
They don't have Houston. Houston is a city.
I understand that. What I'm saying
is, it's on another part of the state.
No, I understand. It's 3 hours south. I understand that.
Okay. So Dallas, the city, thinks they could have two teams. And that's what the mayor said. And it just, it sounds as preposterous. Of all the major cities that you could think of, think about it. New York has two. L.A. now has two. L.A. had zero.
Yeah.
Now they had two. But of all the places that you could think of could hold two, but there's no reason to have two, wouldn't Dallas be at the very top of that list?
Yeah, because you think about it. Well, even though the Jets and Giants are supposed to be heritage programs, I don't know if Jerry will want to split the fan base. Because, ironically, just like in Chicago, White Sox, Cub fans, depends on...
But again,
on
that goes back
east side,
to
west
1900...
Side, right.
Whatever.
What had to start at some point.
But before we paid attention to this stuff, right, that's why that goes back. That's why there's two baseball teams. That's why there's two... I mean, at one point, there was four baseball teams in New York. I mean, it's just, you know, that's back at a different time.
Yeah.
But now, today, with all that equity... In Dallas, where everyone is a Cowboys fan, is a Cowboys fan. Like, how could you possibly, in today's world, in today's NFL, put a team in there and think, this will work? But Diana Russini had this to say about it on Get Up.
We're missing what I think is going to be the story if they have another team. Jerry Jones is going to own that team as well. So he'll have two of those teams in his city. So that's how that's going to work. So Jerry's actually sitting there going, you know what? This is a good idea. More money for me.
Now, that's one way it could work.
he's going to give one to, like, you know, also he would have to open up and share Jerry's world.
That's how you do it.
You know what I mean?
Now, of course, he wouldn't be allowed to own two teams, but what Diana's saying is there's only one way this will work.
Well, he can own one and let Steven own the other one.
Right.
Like, I'm going to keep the Cowboys. Yeah. You go build that one. But you know,
I mean, it would never work that.
I know. If any place deserves to get their football team back, much like the Browns when they lost their team to Baltimore.
What are you going
to
say?
It's probably St. Louis.
St.
Louis is a tremendous sports town. They rally. They love their baseball like never before. They love their hockey.
Yep.
And, you know, they're deserving of, you know, the Rams left. They're deserving of getting another team there.
And again, when the Rams were there, it was...
Not that I know somebody that wants to buy the team, but never mind.
Oh, you do? Well, you wouldn't say it if you didn't. Yeah?
Yeah, let the Rams get it back. Maybe I can be a general manager.
Google me.
Hey, did you hear that Denver's going to be sold maybe for $5 billion?
Why not?
$5 billion?
Yeah, with
like,
a B.
$2 billion was like the last big thing, like when the Dodgers and something like that got sold, like for like $2 billion. No, wasn't it?
$2 billion? Higher, Bob. Yeah.
It was 2.4.
I could see.
Please don't talk about pocket change. .4.
I mean, it's an NFL franchise.
$5 billion?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
$5 billion.
Your Magic Johnson was trying to get in on that?
Magic trying to like be the minority black guy in every spot. Like, hey, you need a black guy? Give it to Showtime. Put me in a group, baby.
But hey, think about it though. It's a pretty lucrative thing to be part of, right? When the Dodgers, you want to be part of that. Like it makes sense.
Yeah, we're not giving Magic can't be in everything, man. Can't. He can't be the black representative in every damn deal, man. Like, can we got to get another black minority group? Can we get somebody? Can we get Yeezy? Remember, Kanye said he wanted to own the team.
Is this what you want?
Because he wanted to get Antonio Brown a job.
Is this what you want? Of all the people to own a sports franchise. Didn't Antonio Brown say that they were going to do all this?
Did you see Antonio Brown, man? He is wilding out, man. Mm-hmm. He has found the one person that's mine as far as going. I mean, they could be geniuses, and we're not on their level, their frequency. But what he's doing, going around these little podcasts and got no shirt on and these weird glasses and hats, he is trying to become Kanye Jr.
Well, he's just living that life of, like, I'm an artist, so I can say whatever I want because I'm just going to call it art.
Yeah, ain't going to have any capacity. Talk what he said about Kaepernick, that he couldn't play. He was a bum and all that stuff. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you want his good friend to own a sports franchise?
I mean.
Yeah. But, no, Denver, you're going to see. It's an NFL franchise. I mean, it's a moneymaker. And, yeah, you see the valuations of all NFL franchises.
It's a money appreciator. Because I don't know how much of that is liquid.
But there's no way you put a second team in Dallas. It doesn't make any sense at all, no matter what the mayor says.
Zero.
Yeah.
Bart and Hahn.
Another one from the Spotify Bart and Hahn motivation mixtape that we will release soon. I have it. It's put together, but we still have to add one more critical piece, and that, of course, is the intro to the show. If I can get that locked up, we will release the mixtape, and then you can all get fired up for your day, every day.
Every day.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Let's get some calls here. Don in Dallas. Don, do you think your city could handle two NFL teams?
Yes. And more importantly, we need another team here because if not being the richest owner in the NFL would change Jerry's mind, now he's third about getting a general manager, maybe we need another team here, and then they win, and maybe he'll step down.
So
if not, we need the pilot to jump out the plane and leave him on there.
So
is that what they tried to do when he was in a car fender bender the other day?
Yikes.
Dude just jumped out the front of the car.
Yeah. Right. He hits him, and then he tells him, fire yourself as a GM. You're terrible. Yeah. I can't imagine Cowboys fans, as frustrated as you are, would want to see another team. Lou is in Dallas. Lou, would you be able to handle a second NFL team in Dallas?
Well, I can honestly say I think the reason why is because the Dallas Cowboys are not even in Dallas. So why bring another team into Dallas? You have the
downtown.
Dallas Stars. You have the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have a team in Dallas so the city can make money off it. The Dallas Cowboys aren't even in Dallas or even in Dallas County.
Mm-hmm. That part is true. Well, it's the New York Jets and Giants don't even play in New York. I mean, that's a reality as well. The San Francisco 49ers do not play in San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, we can go on and on with this, right?
We need cheap land, right? So that's what it is, but we know who they represent.
Yeah. It is a funny thing, though, if you really think
about it. Remember the Detroit Pistons were in Auburn Hills?
Yes. And yes. Miami Dolphins, is that stadium in Miami or technically not really in Miami?
It's in Fort Lauderdale.
Like, if you really think about it, how many of these teams actually play in the – it's sort of like as Peter Rosenberg says, at Jace.
Yeah, the Lions were, before a long time, in Pontiac.
Like, downtown stadiums are, like, the Colts, the Eagles. Like, is there a – like
– Pittsburgh's in Three Rivers. They used to be in Three Rivers.
Well, Pittsburgh's right there. I mean, that's literally right there.
Yeah, Hinesville.
Yeah, you have that. But it's not many, but still. Dallas technically is not there. I mean – the Commanders don't play in Washington.
They play in Maryland.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Like, yeah, Seattle's there. Yeah. Interesting stuff, of course. Love when we get the calls and they make you think about things. Things that make you go, We'll continue with your calls and more next.
Bart and Hahn.
Scott in Texas.
I have a question mainly for Keyshawn because he played receiver.
Keyshawn? You got the wrong
show. Pardon me?
Keyshawn's on in the morning.
Yes, I know. I recorded it. I'm sorry. So should I call tomorrow morning?
Unless you want to ask Bart.
All right, Mark, a question here.
All right, tell you what, Scott. Mark and I are going to finish our show.
Bart and Hahn.
Oh, Bart, you got to – Bart's changing the temperature in the studio right now, and he's missing the beginning of Right Now, which gets me fired up. Apparently, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy this by myself. As you can see, if you're watching on ESPN Plus, Bart is over by the thermostat, trying to turn it up.
Bart is absolutely brilliant and on point.
Fan thing is going to switch over to heat. It's touchscreen. You got to hit heat.
Yeah, it's touchscreen. Right, there's no dial. Remember the dial back in the day when you were a kid? Did you ever have the dial?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then you hear it, and then
kick on. And then, like, later on, you hear your dad go, "Who touched the thermostat?"
Yeah, that would be me, man. Dad. It's child abuse. I'm out here with this electric blanket freezing.
It's freezing. It's Bart Nott, Alan Hall, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at progressive.com. So apparently Jimmy Garoppolo is on the trading block again, or still, or again. Whatever. Yeah. Nick Wagoner, who's our ESPN 49ers reporter, he wrote that Garoppolo, that Jimmy G's shoulder, it's easier to say, is slated to get the all clear in late June or early July, at which point the Niners will again seek a trade partner. And though the Niners have said repeatedly they don't intend to release Garoppolo, it's still hard to imagine a scenario in which he's on the roster week one, at least at his current $26.95. Can we just round that up? $27 million cap number. So don't expect to see him as a 49er then this season. The question, of course, is where? Can you see the Niners trading him to Seattle? I can't.
I can see him trading him to
Carolina.
Yep.
There's no other teams with need. Who's a team that has a quarterback need like that one?
Right. And I can see Baker Mayfield going in to be the backup to Trey Lance.
That's not crazy.
Yeah, you need.
Not entirely crazy, although.
You need a guy in case Trey Lance, one, gets injured, two, falls on his face.
But you'd have to get Baker at the discount, not obviously. You don't trade.
No, yeah, you ain't for him to get cut. Yeah. That way you save in 20, you give him $4 million, $5 million with incentives if he becomes a starter at any point of the year. And then, you got his services and you're paying maybe $8 million for your starting quarterback position because Trey Lance is a rookie. So he's probably signed a deal for $25 million, $30 million. So that's 6 years per.
Yeah. But, I mean, the quarterback carousel hasn't stopped yet. But Jimmy G, once he's officially getting the all clear, which could be late June, early July, he could be on the move again. Where he goes, Carolina seems to make the most sense. All right, we go to the calls. Victor's in Connecticut. What's up, Victor?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's good?
Real quick, I just want to know if you really think that as of this point, the Warriors are more likely to win the championship. And my last one is I just want to say how funny and energetic you two guys are, man. Seriously. I appreciate you every day between the hours of 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Even though I'm also cheering for you to kick the butts of the morning team.
So I'm talking about, say.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean,
prima donnas.
We got to do
one and two.
We got to do what we can do. I mean, that's what it's all about. Thank you, Victor. When it comes to the Warriors as a favorite, Caesars has them as the favorite, slightly ahead of the Suns. But it does feel like right now that the Warriors could be. I mean, look, we know that they have championship DNA. They still have all their guys. We know that. So I don't know. Maybe that's the best answer. I don't know. I don't know what the Suns. For two games, maybe feel like that's going to be a hard team to beat.
Yeah.
And then the Mavericks suddenly have flipped this whole series over, and you're wondering what the hell just happened in Dallas with the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul. Like now, what do I believe? The Warriors are up in their series 3-1, but they didn't do it in any way that you thought, wow, they're
decisive.
Rolling.
You weren't decided, but they are doing it against a team that was number two in the conference.
It's a hard playing team, a hard working team.
I know we got a false sense of security about our first vision of what we think Memphis is because of we saw them struggle against Minnesota.
Do I want to rule out the Bucks though?
No, you can't. They're the champion, and the series is tied.
And the Celtics have played well, but I have reason to wonder if they can do it. Miami, I have reason to wonder if they can do it. So really, it's the two teams in the West. As tough as the East has been, it's the two teams in the West. So it would have to be the Warriors and the Suns, and I would just put them right now at a dead heat.
But the Bucks win it. This series, they get Middleton back, which I think – remember, they're doing this without their second best player.
How much?
This is like the Suns doing it without Booker or doing it without Chris Paul.
Yeah. And they did without Booker for a little bit, but they are healthy. They've got to get it right. There's no question about it. We'll continue more on the NBA playoffs coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.